what we've been talking about the last few weeks is this Field of Dreams. You know, the movie Field of Dreams, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, is a movie about a man who is out in his cornfield one day and has this vision of a baseball field. He hears a voice that says, if you build it, he will come. Then as he's looking off into the distance, he sees a baseball field. And realizes, okay, I gotta plow up my corn and build a baseball field. So he does. Well, then there's the ease his pain, which we talked about some of those things. And then the go to distance, which is what we talked about last week. And I want to talk about another line that's in that movie. And it's not the voice that you hear throughout the movie saying it this time. There's a scene toward the end of the movie where the daughter of Ray is sitting on the bleachers, and her uncle, who is Ray's wife's brother, has been arguing with him. And at this point, he's bought the farm, and he's trying to hold that. He's bought out the bank, so he holds their land in his control. And he's trying to tell Ray to sell wants to sell it so that he can make his money back and move on with their lives. And he's ruined their farm, this, that, all these things. Well, during a scuffle, the daughter falls off the bleachers and chokes on a hot dog. At which point, one of the characters that they have picked up along the way, and this is the character that when it says go the distance and then they go to Minnesota and pick up Moonlight Graham, who Archie Graham is his name. They pick him up on his way. He had one at bat, or hadn't even had an at bat in the major leagues. And so they get this whole thing together and they get him and they get back to the farm with him. And he's out there playing with the guys he would have played with. And then the girl falls off. Well, he had become a doctor in his time after leaving the major leagues. Never got his at bat, but became a doctor and was a doctor for 50 years. And so in the process of this, he comes over to the side of the field, stops for a moment, and then he steps off the field and becomes the old man again and the doctor. He had gotten in his at bat, but then when that happens, Ray's brother-in-law finally sees the people on the field. For the whole time, he had not seen them playing baseball out on the field. He was blind to what had happened. He was blind to the vision that Ray had, and he was blind to what was taking place in front of him. And at that point, then he turns around and he says, you're not selling this farm, or we're keeping the farm, something along those lines. And it's with that thought in mind today, I take a little bit of a different spin than us hearing that voice and going forward that way. At some point, vision has to become what we have or what we are about. And it's where we're going in all reality. And so vision is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about vision. And I want to start. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, that's a little bit of a rough thing to really kind of start with, but I love how that says that. Is where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And what that means is that we don't allow ourselves to be held by God when we don't take the vision that he has for us. You know, if we don't buy into something, then we don't guard that final outcome. We don't guard where we're going. If we don't come with a plan, so to speak, then we're not going to guard how we get there. If we don't have a vision, if we don't come with a revelation, and we've been studying Revelation the last couple Sundays in Sunday school, we've been studying it for the last couple months on Wednesdays and Sunday nights when, you know, rotating back and forth between that and Romans, depending on who could be here what night. And what it all really comes down to, though, is if we don't have this mentality, if we don't have a vision for where we're going, then we cast off restraint. We cast off that restraint that would hold us back from following something, but it would also be the restraint that would hold us back from not following something, if that makes sense. And as we talk about that today, we're going to go into it. But over the last few weeks, we've talked about maybe involving this church with that vision. We've talked about how we find vision within ourselves and how we find that vision that the Lord has laid on us. And this morning, I believe that we're now to the point of where we can maybe find that vision today. Now, I'm not here to say that I've had a dream or a vision that this is the path we're taking. But obviously, I do believe that the Lord has been showing us some things. And I think it's kind of interesting in how some things have played out in front of us. But let's just put it this way. It's kind of like in the movie. We're finding a vision. And the vision is now ready for others to buy in. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying with this? We're to a point now where we got to understand and take the vision. And then others need to buy in to the vision. But as we go through this, I'm not simply talking about us as a church. I mean, it's kind of interesting, Joe, that you came in and one of the first things you said today was about the evangelist and how that took place. And maybe we need to think about or pray about or look at something like that. Because the reality of it is there's a lot of things that go through my mind on a regular basis like that. Of how can we better reach the community? What can we put out there for them? And as we talked about it a few weeks ago, if you build it, you know, I said we need to step out on faith and we need to do in anticipation of and not do as a result of. And there's a difference in that. I mean, we can wait all day long for something to happen in the church. But if we wait until it happens, they're not going to see that it's in place when they get there. You see, Ray didn't build the field because he was thinking, well, you know, there's a baseball player in my cornfield and he needs a place to play. He built the field because he saw the vision and he built it. And then the baseball player showed up. Now, I mean, I know that's a fictional movie. I know that it's not going to happen that way. But if we in the church would look ahead and say, you know, if we do this, then this is going to happen. Because that's what happened however many years ago, back in the 70s, I guess it was, or the 80s, when Newland Christian Church became this building or became this body. Somebody had a vision of a church called Newland Christian Church. And they brought together a body and then a building. And then it became what it has been. And it's still here today. So that vision is still being pursued. Now, the pieces may not all be the same. The parts might look a little different here and there. But the reality of it is that it started with a vision. And then somebody shared that vision. And we'll talk about that as we go through today. But as we get to this, I want you to just take a moment to clear your mind. I want you just to think for a moment. What vision might you have for you or for the church? What vision might be that God is placing on your heart today? Could it be that some of these visions and dreams might look like this? What will the future hold for me? For the church? I mean, I think that's a vision we have about every year, right? Somewhere around the first of the year, we kind of have this thought of, well, the next year is going to have this. And then we call them resolutions. I don't like that term, but we do. I'm going to lose 60 pounds this year. Okay? That's your vision. But that's not exactly what we're talking about here, but maybe we have visions like that. What will the future hold for you or for the church? Or where will we be with God 1 year from now? 10 years from now? 20 years from now? You know, it starts with vision. Will we be stronger than we are today? Will we be weaker than we are today? Will our ministry to the community develop this way or that way? Will we grow closer to the Lord? You see, as we start to look at this and as we start to move forward, There's a lot of things that need to happen for us to find that vision. See, the author of Proverbs probably was Solomon in this particular section. Proverbs 29:18 bluntly and unapologetically points out the fate of one without vision at the end of that verse. But what we're looking at here is this. God is trying to instill in every Christian a vision for their own spiritual life. Don't hear me the wrong way today, but I'm going to tell you like this. God wants every one of us here today. He wants to give us a vision for our future. See, the problem is sometimes we kind of cloud our lives with all the hustle and the bustle and the noise and the determination that we have to succeed in other people's eyes, where we skip over the vision that God has been giving us. See, we kind of put God to the back burner. We kind of push God to the wayside. We kind of sit back and we allow these things to take hold that aren't necessarily what God has planned. Whatever it might be, we allow them to intercede into our lives in a way that was never meant to happen. The troubles we face in life sometimes come from lack of vision. Sometimes it comes from our lack of being able to see what is right in front of us. God is giving us a vision and we miss it because God wants us all to have a vision for our spiritual life. I firmly believe that today. He wants to give us a vision for where He wants us to go. But too many times we've allowed noise to take hold. How do I feel this way? Why do I feel this way? Well, let me just look at a couple of examples. Joseph was given a vision in Genesis. The Bible says that he dreamed a dream. You know, Joseph dreamed those dreams. Well, he also interpreted dreams. Let's see. Abraham was spoken to by God in a vision, right? God gave answers in visions. God gave answers in dreams. Noah had a vision. Mary, Paul, every godly person in the Bible, when we really get down to it, had a vision. Peter, they all envisioned what God was trying to say to them. Why do we not see visions today? What's the verse that says that young men will dream dreams and old men will see visions? Did I get that backwards? But either way, that's the point we're trying to make today. We serve the same God as they did in the Bible. We serve the same God of Abraham, the same God of Noah, the same God of Moses, the same God of Peter and Paul and the apostles, the same God that was born in Bethlehem, that gave Jesus to us in Him through an immaculate conception. Then the same one who went to the cross for us in the body of Jesus, who died for our sins. There's a lot to be said about the God of the Bible, who is the God of today, that we have somehow separated the two. We've somehow decided that the Bible is nothing more than a storybook, that the Bible is nothing more than just this unfortunate history lesson. Now, I'm not saying that's true for everyone. There's a lot of people today. You know, we talked about in Sunday school about that you don't have to fear revelation. Well, the reality of it is that there are many who don't fear revelation, and they don't fear it for the wrong reason. Because the reason they don't fear it is they think that it's nothing more than just fiction. They think it's a vision of how things could have happened, that it's just a science fiction story that doesn't really have any kind of true bearing on our lives. And it's a shame that that is where we are in society today. But let me explain something to you. If we go back into this, every one of these that I've mentioned this morning had big visions for their lives. They had big visions as to how their life would be lived out. Not one of them embraced this ho-hum mentality of, well, I'll do what I can. But do we do that today? Do we embrace this ho-hum mentality about how we face life that we're coming upon today? I mean, they don't have this mediocre walk with God. Yeah, they made mistakes. I mean, we can see stories like the stories in Noah or the stories of David. But when they caught the vision that God was trying to give them, they didn't just sit back and go, okay, God, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. They got up and went. They moved. They acted. They did what they were asked to do. I mean, could you imagine the Christmas story if Mary had caught this vision of you're going to be the mother of the Savior? And she's like, yeah, I'll get to that tomorrow. Was that how Mary was? No. In fact, Mary's exact words were, let it be to me as you have said. Mary was all for capturing that vision and moving forward with her life, with God at the helm and leading her down the path that she needed to follow. You see, if you have that in mind, if you have that ho-hum mentality today about church, about the vision that God has given you for your life, then you're never going to make it. Let's just be blunt and honest for a moment. If that's the mentality that you have when it approaches church, when it approaches life in general, when you approach every single thing that God has laid out for your life and you approach it with this mentality, guess what? That's exactly how it's going to happen. But when you desire it, when you dig in, and when you say, all right, God, I see the vision you have. I see what you're putting in front of me. And this is where we're going. Let's do this. Then God is going to get on board. Because he's already on board. You're basically getting on board with him. And he's moving you in the direction that he would have you to go. You know, in other words, I find it interesting the way that Jesus use the words in Matthew when he says, take my yoke upon you. Because what he implies is that statement alone is that he's already carrying it. He just wants you to help. You see, he's not asking us to pick it up and go with it and leave him in the dust. No, he's asking us to get in here with him and together as a team, let's do this. Let's plow that field. Let's do what needs to be done. Get in here with me because I'm already doing the work. And if you get in here with me, then we're going to go forward together. See, all these big visions must be energized by the Holy Spirit, but we must continue to dream the big dreams that God is giving us today and not just set them to the side and say, well, maybe one day, but right now I got to take care of all of these things that are going on in front of me. In other words, I think that today is the day, and as we do this, I just want you to understand this, and this needs to be done within each one of us. But we must declare the victory in Christ Jesus today with that vision. We must declare today that nothing is impossible with God. That is how we need to approach this and realize that even if the vision seems too big for us to handle, at the end of the day, if somebody can see it and knows that the Holy Spirit's behind it, then they're going to get on board. They're going to get in with you on this, and they're going to go forward together. That is what this church is all about. That is what this is all about. So if you'll turn with me to book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll try to go through this real quickly. But this is the story about Samuel, and he ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at the time while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel. He answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose, went to Eli, and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called to Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, if we look at this, and I read the whole chapter, and there's a reason. Because I want us to understand something. It took God a few times to get Samuel's attention, number one. But when we look at this, the first thing that we need to see in this section of scripture is this, that Samuel was a product of vision. Samuel was a product of a vision to his mother. Now, if you go back to chapter 1 and you see that, Samuel was a vision that his mother saw, and then he came to be. So Samuel himself was a product of vision. This was after she had gone to Eli and prayed. So when we look at that, parents, if you are a parent today, or you might be a parent one day, which could be all of us at this point, the thing you need to understand is this. You cannot expect your children to dream big and to seek visions if you don't do so yourself. If you are not doing it yourself, then how can you expect your children to do the same? Unfortunately, this is kind of where we are in the world today. There's a lot of kids who have big dreams that are completely demolished by the parents that are raising them, or by the family members that they have, or the friends that they have, or the adults in their life. Let me just put that all into perspective for you. We need to start declaring victory in our own lives and seeking the vision that God gives us. Here's why. Because more than likely, our children's vision for what God is able to do in their own life will be born out of the visions that we share with them. Because they know that we have those same dreams and those same visions through God. But here's more. We need to stop our mouths from killing other visions. If somebody has come to you and they've said, hey, I feel the Lord leading me to be this and to do that and to be something big for him, the first thing out of our mouth can't be, well, you've got to think logically here. The first thing out of our mouth can't be to completely tear them down and make them feel like they're not worthy of the calling that God has laid in their heart. Because so many times I have watched youth fall to the wayside because somebody in their life has told them they weren't good enough for God. Now those words may not be the ones that were actually spoken to them. But when a youth feels that God is calling and tugging and pulling their heartstrings to maybe be a missionary, well, you don't need to go overseas. Just think of all you can do here. That's wonderful. There is a lot that needs to be done here, but that's not what God laid on their heart. Oh, you don't need to go and pursue that dream. That's just a pipe dream. But it might be that that pipe dream is what God had laid on their heart for them to accomplish something great for him. You see, we need to stop killing the vision because we didn't see it. Because it wasn't our vision to see. It's like the brother-in-law continually saying, you need to sell the farm, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Ray and his wife are saying, look, we can't. We can't sell the farm because there's something going on here that you don't see. But it's greater than anything And eventually, you know, the common theme throughout the movie is that people will come. People will see and they will come. They will understand eventually. You just have to be patient and let it happen. Well, here it is. Today, there's a vision that God has laid in our hearts. And we are killing His vision today for our lives. We're killing His vision for this church because we're constantly looking back and saying, well, logically, we can't do this because this can't happen. We got to catch that vision today, and we got to stop saying no to God. There's no other way around it. We've got to stop telling God what He can't do and allow Him to show us what He can do. Because today we can't sit back and say, well, we just don't have this or we just don't have that. We just can't put it together because we just, who cares? If God has given us a vision and God sees it through, then God is the one doing it and He's the one that gets the glory. So it doesn't matter anyway, right? Not to our meager being. But we're killing the vision that somebody's had because we're too logically thinking. Actually, we're allowing the devil to give us things. You know, it's just like Job's friends. I'll just curse God and die. You know, there's got to be something going on in your life because you couldn't have been living for God. If we see a vision, let's follow through. You know, it's the easiest pain, go the distance, all that stuff thrown in. But when our children ask if we believe that they can achieve something in life, we don't need to be tearing them down. We need to be building them up. Build them up with stories about how nothing is impossible with God. Build them up with stories about how a shepherd boy became a king. Build them up with stories about how a peasant girl named Esther became a queen. How about we build them up with stories about the obedience of a young man placing a few little fish and a couple pieces of bread in a box, taking it, and it ended up feeding 5,000. How about we fill them with those stories today? Because we oftentimes have the tendency to quote the do's and do nots of the Bible, the do love one another, the don't hate your neighbor, the don't steal, don't kill, don't destroy, all these things, but we don't have the tendency to build up with encouragement from the Word. No, this isn't a prosperity gospel. This is a vision. This is a vision gospel that we are talking about here. Had the disciples not bought into the vision that Jesus had, they wouldn't have seen the great things happen that they did. Had the disciples not followed, had they not gone the distance, so to speak. The second thing we see in this is that we must open ourselves to hear and see the vision. Remember, what did Eli say to Samuel? He said, you need to do what? Go lay down. And when you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, because your servant hears you. And then when Samuel heard the call again, what did he do? He said, speak, because your servant hears you. And God spoke and gave him the vision. And that vision, it concerned Eli. It concerned the life of Eli. But we'll get to that in a moment. But we need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. Blake needs to hear from God. Joe needs to hear from God. The leaders of this church need to hear from God. But here's the thing. It's not just the leaders that need to hear. Do you hear that today? It's all of us. All of us need to hear from God. If you get a vision, don't be hasty in taking it. Say, speak, Lord. If He's calling to you today, say, speak. Because your servant hears you. We need to stop passing the buck on to other people. And we need to accept it today. We need to start saying, Lord, speak to me. We don't need to go to someone and say, well, Blake, God gave me a vision for your life. Because that is not what God's doing. Even Samuel didn't try to go to Eli and say, well, God's vision was for me to tell you this. No. Eli came and asked Samuel and said, please tell me everything. And then Samuel shared it with him. But God's vision wasn't for him to tell Eli anything necessarily. God's vision was to say, you need to be ready when this happens. Think about how that was worded. He didn't tell him to go tell Eli anything about the vision. He did share it with Eli because it was the word of the Lord. But what did he do? He said, this is going to happen, and you need to be ready for when it does. Because there is going to be a day when I do exactly what I'm telling you. And it happened just exactly as the Lord said it would. Once we begin to listen to what the Lord is trying to do for us, once we begin to listen to what He's trying to tell us, this vision will be so real that we can see it in the Spirit, even though it might be miles or days or months or years ahead of us. That vision that He's going to give you will feel real, and you will have no choice but to follow. Once you buy in, once you say speak, and once you say show me, Lord, He will give you that vision, and it's going to be right there. It's going to be attainable. And so when somebody comes in and says, God has given me a vision, God has given me this, if we can discern that it's not the Lord, then great. But if it's hard not to say. I mean, you can tell the difference between somebody who's saying, well, God wanted me to do this, or somebody who's saying, listen, this is going to happen, and we need to be behind it. See, there's a difference there. When you catch the vision, it's not that there's a possibly we need to do this mentality. It's let's go for it. Let's get behind it and let's move forward in this direction, because that's where this church is going and that's where we need to be when it gets there. Or else we can just sit here and not do a thing. Just show up on a Sunday morning, show up on a Sunday night, show up on a Wednesday night and hope that by some chance we're still a part of it when the vision is seen through. The reality of it is if we're not buying into what God is doing in our lives, then we're letting ourselves down. We're missing out on blessings, and we're missing out on the biggest part, and that is Him. We're missing out on what He's doing in our lives, because once something is spoken into existence, it is here. When God speaks something into existence, it exists. That's pretty much exactly how life works. God said, let there be light, and there was. God said, let's create man in our own image, and He did. Everything that God spoke into existence exists. Every vision that God gave man came to pass. Every prophecy about a Savior happened. So as we look at this today, I want to look at the third thing here, and we're going to close it all out. But before I get to the third thing, does anybody know the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart? The words, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up. You know, but open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. That song rings true in my ears today, because that needs to be a prayer that we're praying. And as we get to the third thing in this, the third thing is the most important. And if you don't believe me, then I want you to just hear why. The third thing in all of this that we can see from this today is that you have to tell somebody. That vision can only happen when we get others behind it. God places that vision in your life, and He tells you to, you know, this is what's going to happen. Now, yes, Samuel went and he told Eli. But let me just look at the visions that God gave throughout Scripture. Let's see. Mary found Elizabeth and talked to her and went and told her what she had seen. Samuel told Eli. Ruth told Naomi. Esther went to Mordecai. There is a pattern here of how these things played out. The vision that is placed before you is the vision of where God wants to take you, but He needs you to help bring others along. You have to fully buy in to be willing to share the vision that God has given you. And when God gives you a vision and you share it with others and then you move forward toward it, people realize that you believe in what you're saying. You believe in what God is doing, and you believe that God is going to get it done. And it will happen. Just like Eli said to Samuel right here, he says, it is the Lord. Let Him do what seems good to Him. Even though it meant demise for Eli and his family because of how they had lived, he still said, it is the Lord. Let Him do what He thinks is good. He bought in to the vision Samuel saw because he knew where it came from. When others see that you know where the vision comes from and they know where the vision comes from, then moving forward doesn't seem like a far-fetched idea. Every missionary that has ever gone out into this world somewhere else started with a vision for them to minister to that area. And as they go, they got other churches behind them because they told them, they said, look, God's called me to go and do. Man, it's why Jason and Gia are in China right now. And we support them because we see the vision that God has for them. Because they've come and they shared that with us. You know, it finds someone that thinks like you, some Holy Spirit-filled follower of Christ, to come along and feel the Spirit within you. And then the two of you can work together toward a goal. But when it comes down to it, it makes the devil mad for God's people to follow God's dreams and God's visions. It makes the devil mad. It makes him uncomfortable to follow that happening. But with all I've said today, I'm going to tell you this, and we're going to wrap it up. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and he will do nothing and stop at nothing to work against you. He will try his best to tear you apart, to tear you down, to break you in two. And this week I have found that to be true. I have found that to be more than true, because I have found myself more than once this week completely broken, on my knees, calling out to God, wondering what in the world I'm going to do tomorrow. Because I don't understand why the devil wants to lie to you and tear you down. But what I do know is when the devil is trying to focus that hard on you, then you've got to follow God. Because the only one strong enough to defeat him is God. The only one strong enough to win that battle is the Lord. And when the Lord helps you through that battle, then it's not going to tear you apart. It's only going to make you stronger. Right? Iron sharpens iron, right? So today, keep on following Christ. I mean, if you're saying today, well, Philip, my visions and my dreams are gone. I just don't have anything left in me. There's nothing here. I used to think big for God. I used to think big for this church in God. I used to think that things were going to happen this way or that way, but things just got in the way. Life happened, and I just don't dream anymore. I have no vision for the future. I want to say to you this way today. I want you to understand this. Jesus wants to restore it. He's working to restore you. See, those mentalities, those thought processes, those things that happen come from a broken spirit. Someone who is broken, who is pushed and strived, and they didn't catch the vision properly. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes we don't catch the vision and try to move forward, but everybody around us is trying to hold us back. I mean, that happens. But we got to keep pushing. We got to keep doing, because eventually somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to see that God is truly working in our lives and wants us all to move forward together. Folks, this church, we can catch that vision today. Remember, over the last few weeks, if you build it, he will come. If you build it, if you jump out on faith, if you take that step, he will take two. If you take that step and follow through, he will be there. And he is guiding you. We step out in anticipation of what will happen, not as a result of what did happen. Two, ease his pain. We can ease our pain and his pain and their pain by repentance. Repenting is the only way. We must repent to get rid of the hurt, rid of the pain, and rid of the struggle, so that we can move forward. And then we got to go the distance and follow through. And when we do, and when we catch that vision, and we start moving forward, and others see the vision alive in us, they're going to get on board and say, look, we can't sell this farm. We got to do this. We got to do this together. Because this is where God's going. He's taking us on a ride. And I want to be there when we get off the ride. I don't want to get off the ride too soon, because I know the blessing and the endurance is the greatest part. So catch it with us today. Ride with us today. And let's follow this vision that the Lord can lead us on. Don't be afraid to let the Lord speak to you. But when he calls, make sure you answer like Samuel did. Just say, Lord, speak to me. Let me hear you. Your servant wants to hear your voice. As we close out, we're not even going to do the song. We're going to do Trust and Obey, but we're not even going to do that.
as we close out today, let's just close out with that mentality. If you want to talk to someone, talk to me, talk to Joe, talk to Blake, Charlie. I don't think any of us mind if you need someone to talk to today. But let's catch that vision today for what the Lord's trying to do in our lives.